7, please. James Drea Sr. versus Joanne B. Barnhart.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Ava Guerra, and I represent the plaintiff appellant, James Drea, in this case. This is a Social Security case that was inappropriately denied by the ALJ in this case. And plaintiff contends that the record evidence does not support the decision, and the ALJ failed to adequately build a logical bridge connecting the evidence to the conclusion he drew. We found three errors, but the major of which we feel is the treating physician aspect of this case, which was not taken into account and given the proper weight by the ALJ. The second error we found was credibility, and third, the fact that there was no vocational expert present to assist the ALJ in understanding how the non-exertional impairments that this claimant had would have eroded the occupational base. Mr. Drea is currently 62, but at the time of the decision, he was 59, and he had worked 34 years as a welder machine operator, which was found to be medium work. The ALJ in this case said that Mr. Drea could go back to that medium level of work, in which he occasionally lifted 100 pounds and regularly lifted 50 pounds or more on a daily basis. Mr. Drea was diagnosed in 93 with colon cancer, and underwent several surgical procedures after that diagnosis with regard to the cancer. He underwent colonoscopies on a regular basis. His doctors constantly put into the record that he was fatigued, that he was tired, that he needed to nap. This was not outside the realm of what happens when one has colon cancer. Second, he also was found to have elevated liver, abnormal liver functioning tests. While it was not completely diagnosed as to what the elevation occurred from, there were various diagnoses that were considered by the doctors, one of which was called hemochromatosis, and a second was an autoimmune disease, possibly related to hepatitis. The doctors did not rule out any of those diagnoses. They were still trying to find out what the elevated liver functioning was from. But the first diagnosis I mentioned, which was hemochromatosis, also produces fatigue. In this case, the ALJ totally ignored the fact that the claimant had fatigue. And in fact, not being a doctor, the ALJ did opine that because Mr. Drea did not take medication for fatigue, probably he didn't have it. Well, I believe that if I could find some medication for fatigue, I would be taking it. There is no such medication. And so for the ALJ to conclude because he wasn't on medication for fatigue was incorrect. But more importantly, in this circuit, I believe the treating physician rule is that the treating physician should be given controlling weight when a decision regarding Social Security is made. In this
case,
what
case says that?
I used Clifford versus the commissioner, Clifford? Or Apfel. Clifford versus Apfel.
What is it? What is that cite, please?
It's in my brief, Your Honor.
He must be given controlling.
Yes, controlling weight must be the treating condition. I'm sorry. the district court case Dominguez. Dominguez versus the commissioner.
But not in this court.
In 2001, citing case law from this court. And I will find it for Your Honor for my rebuttal, okay?
Right.
But in Dominguez, which was the same judge as in this case, ALJ Schneider, the court was trying to give him guidance as to how he should evaluate medical evidence. And in this case, there is no evidence contradicting the treating physician. His opinion is completely uncontradicted except for a DDS, a Disability Determination Service, non-examining, non-treating physician's opinion that the claimant, just by reviewing the record, that the claimant could go back to medium work. In this court, in particular, Rohan v. Chater, the court said that the ALJ must take into account significant evidence that would support a view other than what he concluded. In this case, The ALJ did not take into consideration any of the treating physician's opinions, basically discarding it in favor of the DDS examiner.
Well, didn't he say that treating physician's opinions were based on Mr. Gray's statements to him about his symptoms?
Well, Your Honor, I would go back to the fact that there are three diagnoses. I did not mention the high blood pressure also, and possible diabetes, which Mr. Drea has since been documented as having. That all we have to prove, or all the claimant has to prove, is that his condition could be reasonably expected to produce the symptoms that the complainant complains of. And in this case, the literature, which we attached to our summary judgment motion, shows that, first of all, colon cancer can cause weakness and fatigue. Hemochromatosis can also cause weakness and fatigue. And so the claimant has the underlying medical objective findings, which would cause anyone would cause a treating physician who would have seen the patient over a long period of time to recognize that his symptoms were consistent with the record. There is nothing inconsistent in the record. The second area that we would like to address is the credibility issue that the ALJ, he actually did not make a credibility finding, which he should have in this case. He just you can conclude that he did not find the claimant credible. He did not analyze, as he should have, pursuant to Social Security Ruling 96-7P. He did not make specific findings regarding the claimant's credibility. He just made conclusory statements and indicated that there were some basic activities of daily living, which the claimant did, such as drive short distances, basically his daily living activities, which included rest and having the need to nap twice a day, that these were just, it found him capable of being medium level work. The other reason the ALJ seemed to discard the treating physician's opinion is because he did not know the etiology of the fatigue. Case law here in this circuit also indicates in Sparks v. Bowen that the etiology of a case or the cause of the medical problem is not necessarily the important aspect of a case. The fact that you don't know what caused it, but that there is a problem and the doctors all document that there is a medical problem, is what you need to look at, not whether or not they know what the liver functioning abnormality came from. And so the ALJ used an incorrect legal standard in making his determination concerning the etiology, concerning the fatigue. And the third area that
that you're into your rebuttal time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will reserve
that. That's up to you if you want to use it.
Well, just briefly, the third area is that there should have been a vocational expert present to guide the ALJ. The non-exertional impairment relative to fatigue should have been addressed, and we would have found out whether it would have eroded the occupational base. Moreover, the ALJ cites that the claimant worked three summers as a truck driver, high load driver, or warehouse on a farm. In 97, he stopped doing even that, which was basically sedentary to light in nature, because he could no longer do it. And so we requested the court to at least remand to find out whether a later onset date would be appropriate, October of 97 rather than 93, if the court found that possibly that was SGA.
What are the non-exertional impairments here?
Non-exertional?
Yeah, what are they?
The fatigue is the main thing.
You're talking about when you're talking
he has
about
to lay down. His treating physician has opined that he has the need to completely, he has the complete need to rest at any time that he needs to. So while he might be functioning for a few hours, he has to lay down in order to regroup and get some more energy to assist with the weakness and fatigue. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Melinda Hammond, and I'm here representing Commissioner Barnhart. After he recovered from colon cancer in 1993, James Drea retired from his longtime employment as an automobile assembly worker. For the next three summers, he earned money to supplement his pension by by working full-time in a warehouse as a fork truck driver. Mr. Drea spent the remainder of his time performing farm chores on his brother's farm, bowling, working in his garden, socializing with friends and family, running errands, helping his wife out with household chores, as well as reading, napping, and watching TV. In August 1998, Mr. Drea applied for disability insurance benefits, asserting that he became unable to work back in 1993 due to fatigue. The ALJ, who decided his case, reasoned that while Mr. Drea had medically determinable impairments that could cause some level of fatigue, the nature of the medical treatment during the period and Mr. Drea's activities during the period showed that he retained the ability to perform his past medium or light level work. The commissioner maintains that the ALJ properly applied the law, the record supports his conclusions, and this denial of benefit should be affirmed. The appellant argues that the ALJ in Mr. Drea's case erred by rejecting his symptoms due to lack of supporting medical evidence. The ALJ, however, explicitly accepted the premise that Mr. Drea's medically determinable impairments of elevated liver function and history of colon cancer could cause some of the symptoms Mr. Drea alleged. The ALJ therefore went on to evaluate the effect of Mr. Drea's symptom, fatigue, on his functional ability. The ALJ did not, as the appellant says, ignore Mr. Drea's testimony regarding fatigue, but instead evaluated all the evidence concerning the functional effect of that fatigue and concluded that the evidence as a whole showed that Mr. Drea remained capable of his past relevant work despite his fatigue. The evidence the ALJ relied on to reach this conclusion included Mr. Drea's medications and treatment. Most significant was the lack of any complaint of fatigue from the time he ceased chemotherapy, which was prior to the alleged onset date, until December of 1996.
What is a good fatigue medication? Lightness about that?
Well, Your Honor, in other cases, I'm not saying that this is appropriate or that this would be appropriate for Mr. Drea, but in other cases, doctors prescribe things like tricyclic antidepressants. There are medications. Medication is a valid factor. Medication was one of the factors the ALJ mentioned as he properly considered that factor under the regulations that tell him to consider medications in evaluating this issue. Under the case law, including the recent case of Donahue, that tell the ALJ to consider medications when evaluating this issue. The ALJ in this case, I think, mentioned the fact that he only took Celebrex and hypertension medication, and he mentioned the nature of Mr. Drea's treatment. Even after Mr. Drea registered his first complaint of fatigue in December 1996, his treating doctor, Dr. Richardson, didn't make any diagnosis related to fatigue on that date. Even after Mr. Drea showed slightly elevated liver function in January 1997, Dr. Richardson did not refer Mr. Drea to a specialist for evaluation of this problem until November 1998. The ALJ could reasonably conclude that Dr. Richardson's relaxed pace of evaluation and treatment indicated that Mr. Drea's fatigue was not causing him significant problems. The ALJ noted the medications. The ALJ also relied on Mr. Drea's recorded activities during the time he claims to have been disabled. Mr. Drea performed full-time work as a fork truck driver from June to September of 1995, 1996, and 1997. The ALJ noted that the Dictionary of Occupational Titles classifies this work as medium-level work. The ALJ noted that Mr. Drea stopped this work every year in September because the canning season ended, not because he suddenly became unable to work in September of each year. The ALJ further noted that Mr. Drea's regular daily and weekly activities included an hour of work a day on his brother's farm through early 1998, working in his yard and garden for 2 hours a week for 1 hour at a time, bowling for 3 hours once a week, performing household chores such as sweeping, vacuuming, making the beds, and emptying the dishwasher, driving short distances several times a day.
You're already fatiguing me. Go ahead.
Visiting with friends and relatives daily for a couple of hours, attending church weekly, and reading the newspaper every day.
It's a hard job.
That's fatiguing, too.
These activities belie Mr. Drea's assertion that his fatigue prevents him from performing significant exertional activities, including his past relevant work. The evidence of record, therefore, supports the ALJ's conclusion that Mr. Dreher retained the ability to perform his past relevant work either at the medium or, as I would point out, at the light exertional level. The ALJ noted that the job, Mr. Dreher's job, as it's generally performed in the national economy, was defined in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles as light level work. The appellant further argues that the ALJ incorrectly weighed the medical opinions of record in this case, giving too little weight to the opinion of the treater, Dr. Richardson, and too much weight to the opinion of Dr. Chan, the state agency reviewer. The ALJ's decision demonstrates that he considered the various medical opinions, and he gave good reasons for his decision to give Dr. Chan's opinion on functional limitations greater weight than the opinion of Dr. Richardson. The ALJ concluded that Dr. Richardson's extreme 1998 opinion, and this, in that opinion he concluded that he could stand no more than an hour total during a workday and sit no more than 2 hours total during a workday, was not consistent with the record or the objective medical evidence and should not be given controlling weight. This is the proper standard under the regulations and under this circuit's law. The ALJ remarked upon Dr. Richardson's admission that his work restrictions were based on Mr. Dreher's complaints and the symptom limitation Mr. Dreher reported. The medical record the ALJ relied on showed that Mr. Dreher made no complaints of fatigue for over 3 years after his alleged onset of disability, and that his physicians made no physically limiting findings on examination. Given the lack of objective support and the admitted subjective basis for Dr. Richardson's limitations, the ALJ could reasonably choose to rely instead on the opinion of Dr. Chan, the state agency physician, who not only reviewed the evidence of record in March 1999, but also discussed Mr. Dreher's case with Dr. Richardson. The ALJ's reasons and conclusions regarding the medical opinions are well supported and should be affirmed. Plaintiff additionally adds that, appellant additionally adds that a vocational expert should have been called to assess the effect of non-exertional limitations. The ALJ, however, reasonably found no non-exertional limitations. No VE was required. The evidence contained a VE is usually used to give evidence regarding the requirements of jobs. There was good evidence in this case from plaintiff himself and from the Dictionary of Occupational Titles regarding the requirements of jobs, and no VE was required. The commissioner would respectfully request that this court affirm our decision.
If I still have time.
Yes, you have about 1 minute.
Okay. First of all, Mr. Dreher did not work full-time. He worked summers. That would be 3 months out of the year. For 3 summers, he stopped when he could no longer work. The farm that he worked on was in 1996. We had indicated to the court that if there was an assessment to amend the onset date to October of 97, to have the ALJ reevaluate to see if after he stopped his summer work. However, even his summer work would have been light. The only way the ALJ could deny this case is by finding Mr. Dreher capable of medium work, which is why he couldn't put him down to light. Under light work, even if we just reduced him to being able to walk 6 out of 8 hours a day and lifting 20 pounds, he would have gridded out under the vocational rules under 202.06. The ALJ knew that, and so he had to find him capable of medium. Sister Counsel was incorrect in saying that there are no notations of fatigue after 96, or I'm not sure what year she said, but from 97 to 98 to 99, Dr. Richardson continuously puts that he has chronic fatigue. He referred him to a specialist for the liver studies. Mr. Dre is still being evaluated for various diagnostic issues to do with the liver. He has done everything that his doctors have told him, and his condition, the symptoms are a logical conclusion from the medical diagnosis that Mr. Dreher had. And for this reason, we would like this court to reverse and or at least remand this case so that the ALJ can make a decision under the correct legal standards.
Thank you both for your help, and we will take the case under advisement.